16th, 1985. My name is Tika Ward. I'm interviewing Brother Kim Malloy. We are at St. Meinrad Arch Abbey in St. Meinrad, Indiana. Our topic is Lou Tate and the Little Loom House. As we begin, I would like you to tell me a little something about yourself.
I'm Brother Kim. I'm a Benedict monk from St. Meinrad Arch Abbey. I joined the monastery in 1956, 1958. I am a weaver. I also am on the administrative council of the Arch Abbey. This point in my life, I'm almost 47 years old.
Tell me when you first met Lou Tate, or heard of Lou Tate.
In 1964, I began teaching weaving to people in the local area. And in 1965, after hearing about Lou Tate, I took my weaving class to Louisville to visit the Little Loom House. And it was in the spring of 1965.
How did you specifically hear of Lou Tate?
Well, in the weaving field, weavers pick up names of people that are weaving and everything, and it came by that way. Also, I had a book of Lou Tate's weaving, title of which is Weaving is Fun.
Tell me what the students and you thought when you first drove up there.
Well, first of all, we got lost, as usual. And in those days, we ended up somehow up on top looking down at it. And after maneuvering our way around on the small roads, we ended up in the parking lot. Most of my students, except for one, we were in particular, were very enthused about it. One was overwhelmed, not so much by the weaving, but by the collection of junk. We spent all afternoon there, I think, and picked up a lot of interesting weaving techniques, which they were interested to try when they came back.
How would you define junk?
Me, myself?
Or the student, perhaps?
The student I would define as one of these people where everything is prim and proper and in its place. And the thought of having a whole lot of yarn, boxes, stuff sitting around was just a little bit overwhelming. This particular student didn't particularly like being in my shop either.
What day was it?
It was in the middle of the week.
How did you all make contact with each other, you and Lou Tate?
I had written to Lou Tate and asked if I could bring the weaving class up to see the Little Loom House, and she responded with a very generous offer and letter of letting us come. I remember also that when offering to pay her for the trip, she was very reluctant. She was very willing to sell students some of the papers of which she had written on different phases of weaving, but she was not too willing to accept anything for the visit, although I'm sure that most of the students pressed some money upon her for it. But it impressed me at that time that she was willing to do it for nothing, which is kind of unusual in the world today.
When you say that you all learned some techniques, could you be more specific?
One in particular I remember was that one of the children was doing a bound weave on the rose path of little soldiers, which almost looked like a tapestry. And the students were so fascinated with it. It was loom controlled and loom produced that we came home and produced a whole series of pictures using the same technique.
What kinds of, these students were advanced? What kind of class?
I am normally a over a period of years taught here, St. Meinrad, a group of people from the local area, about five or six, who just come in once a week to learn different weaving techniques. Some of them have looms and some of them don't, but it's just a general basic course, and it's been go on. One person I've had for about three or four years, and they have progressed through some other major.
So the children,
areas.
Are they different ages?
They're all adults. Varying from anywhere from 18 to 65.
So it was a field trip.
Yeah, and it was really all field trips that I remember having taken with different groups. It was one of the more interesting ones because they got more enthusiastic about the whole thing, and they saw all kinds of things that we weren't doing that were possible that they came back and were wanting to try. And it kept us busy for about another year trying to catch up on some of them.
What were your first impressions of her?
Well, on the first visit, having very little time to talk to her, trying to keep the six weavers kind of in tow and out of everything, she impressed me as a person who had been weaving for a long time with a very good knowledge of the history and basic techniques of weaving. It wasn't until later on that I really got to know Lou Tate, that I got to know really how thoroughly she was into the subject and into the areas in which I was particularly interested in, and in the areas in which we later worked pretty well together on. But the first kind of impression was somebody that was totally devoted to what she was doing beyond anything else. I mean, teaching children weaving and the history of textiles in relationship to the history of the rest of history. But the simple life she lived, the total putting everything she had into her work, kind of oblivious to even the world around her. I mean, the fact that she survived on very little, and what she did have over, she just poured back in to it because of the love of the history of it and weaving itself and teaching children about it. Well, also I came to the quick conclusion that she was much more at ease and open with children than she was with adults.
So, after that first meeting?
There was a lapse of probably 2, maybe 3 years when I received another letter from Lou Tate. Actually, I think I'd received a package of information that was for the students on some techniques, which was thankful for, but then the next really contact came 2 or 3 years later, when there seemed to have been a spark of interest in spinning in the Louisville area, and Lou Tate was planning a spinning workshop. And she wrote and asked if she could borrow 2 or 3 of my wheels. And I wrote back and said I would be very happy to loan her the wheels, but I would have to come with them. And she wrote back and she said, well, that was my intention. If I thought I got the wheels, I'd get you too. So I went back then and spent 2 days teaching a spinning workshop. And then on the third day of the spinning workshop, I had to return. So Marilyn Kluger, who wrote The Joy of Spinning, taught the third day.
That first spinning bee was the beginning of many visits and occasions to the Little Loom House, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, on the first one, other than being meeting a whole lot of rather interesting people and teaching, I got to know Lou Tate a lot better. We spent time in the evening sitting around and talking, and I found her fascination for history, all areas of history, not just weaving, really very interesting. And at that time I'd just begun to kind of fall in love with the coverlets. And we spent a lot of time talking about coverlets, and then she was doing at that time some rather basic beginning work on some of the jacquard areas, a thing that really fascinated me with the mechanics of the jacquard loom. And from that point, I think our interest in the coverlet area really was one of the sparking things that really kept the relationship going and growing.
I heard that she collected drafts for coverlets.
Yes, there seemed to be a number of these, and people would send some through the mail. I remember once that I was up and she was, had just received one that they had found in the letter written by a soldier in the Revolutionary War, that he was in Virginia, and he was sending this pattern back to his fiancée in Kentucky, thinking that she would be very interested in it. Also, I remember making a trip with her to Lexington, well, to South Union, which is by Lexington, by Bowling Green, to look at coverlets. And we went down on a Saturday and stayed overnight. Saturday afternoon, a number of people brought in coverlets of which she copied down the pattern back and talked to them about the history and the family and this type of thing. Well, I gave a small spinning demonstration at the museum there. And then on the, we sat around and talked later about it, and she explained to me that her family had come from the area around Bowling Green, and she collected a number of drafts in her younger years in this area. And it was very handy because she could go in and tell people that she was so-and-so's daughter or granddaughter or cousin or this thing, and they were very willing and freely open up their family treasures, and she collected an awful lot of these things. Then after Tate had died and they were going through things, we had the director of the textile section of the Smithsonian, Rita Rosper-Down, with Helene Brest from Maryland, who they showed a number of these things to, and they had invited me up to be with them when they did it. And one of these things I'd seen earlier, there was a draft written on a small thin piece of paper cut from a ledger book, sewed together with string so that it would be long enough to write the entire draft. But she had a number of these, and they were very interesting to me, in a sense that the majority of them were not of overshot. The identities and things that they would have used for yardage, for petticoats, bedspreads, this sheeting and this sort of thing, rather than the fancy overshot coverlets that we like to associate with early American weaving.
We have some articles here that have appeared in newspapers. One of them, dated July 9, 1974, the Louisville Times. Tell us about this.
The Louisville Times, through Lou Tate's introduction, made an interview with me in July 9th, 1974 paper. Basically, it's just a little folksy thing about Brother Kim and his weaving and visits to Louisville and teaching spinning workshops.
But this is an example of your relationship with Lou Tate and her wanting to share with other people some of what you knew.
Yes. Lou Tate had a great ability, I think that most of us look back at now, of being able to contact the press and getting things printed when she wanted them printed. And it's really surprising because every time she seemed to have something, I seemed to get a little clipping from a newspaper here or there of something that she had sent out. And seemed to generate a lot of interest over a period of time, even some of the very last workshops.
When, Brother Kim, was the last time you visited Lou Tate?
I got a letter from Lou Tate offering me a 8 and a 12 cornice loom that she had stored away that she thought wasn't going to be used. And I came up to pick it up, and this was after she had had a heart attack and met her out at the loom house on sort of a rainy day. We sat around and talked after loading them on, and she was telling me what it was like to go through a heart attack and what things happened, period. The one thing I remember is her telling me that she knew that she was coming out of it and everything was going to be okay when she could lay there in bed and look at the ceiling and on the grid work, figure out the weaving patterns, all the mathematical equations. And this brings me to really what I really feel that Lou Tate wanted to leave in preservation of the cabins, and her work was the history of cloth making for generations, not only of early America, but what is going to be in the future. And with it comes the collection of the materials in which she written, and the passed on tradition from one child to the other, from one adult to the another, leaving aside all the personalities and just understanding history and the practical workings and the daily things that we use.
This is the end of Side 1, Tape 1, the interview with Brother Kim, taking place at the St. Meinrad Arch Abbey. We're actually in the Jacquard Loom House.